If you would, please take your Bible this morning and open to the book of Psalms. We're going to look at a couple of verses in Psalm 24. Psalm 24. During the outline, we will look at some other scriptures as well, but I wanted to begin here at Psalm 24, verses 1 through 6. Psalm 24, verses 1 through 6. Please notice, the Bible says, "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah." There is a question that's asked in these six verses that I read, and the question basically is this: who is going to be able to be in God's presence and walk with him? Now, I realize that doesn't say all those words, but the thought is there. Who's going to be allowed in God's presence? And who's going to be able to walk with him and to know him in a personal, intimate relationship each and every day? And I wanted you to notice verse number 4 gives the answer. It says, "He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully." Verse 5 goes on to say, "He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation." I do want to speak to you this morning for a little while on this subject: clean hands and a pure heart. Clean hands and a pure heart. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you that you give us the opportunity to know you, walk with you, for us to be your friend, for you to be our friend, to have this daily relationship that hopefully grows sweeter and sweeter as the years go by, as the songwriter wrote. I pray that you'll help us today as we go through the outline and as we talk about a few things. Not a very profound message, I suppose, but very simple things that you have given us to help us to maintain clean hands and a pure heart. This is important because we want that daily, intimate relationship with you, Lord. Bless, please, as we continue now, and help me as I speak. In Jesus' name, amen. I hope everyone here realizes that being saved is a whole lot more than just praying a prayer. Being saved is even a whole lot more than saying, "Well, I'm saved and I'm on my way to heaven." Being saved is a lot more than that, and there's a lot more in this than I can even take time to describe this morning, but it's a relationship. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's a relationship with actually God the Father through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have this relationship because of our salvation, and I'll talk some about that this morning. But as we live our life, from the moment we get saved all the way until he takes us home to heaven, as we live our life in this world, it's very, very easy to lose that idea of clean hands and a pure heart. It's very easy to, I don't know what other way to say it, this is very, very simplistic, but it's really, really easy for us to get dirty. Have you ever noticed how easy it is for things to get dirty, let's say, just in your house? I'm sure all the ladies here, and maybe some of the men as well, but you can go through the house and you can, like when you know company's coming and you vacuum and you dust and you do all these different things, and then a couple of things happen. Usually you look, if you're sitting still, you look around and you see a spot you missed. The sun is shining on it just right, you know, and all of a sudden you notice it. Or things have settled, and there's that dust again. How easy it is for things to get dusty and dirty. I am amazed sometimes at, you ever wonder how do dust bunnies grow? Where do those things come from? I see them every now and then, and it's not that the house hasn't been cleaned, it's just they seem to form on their own. But how easy it is for things to get dirty and dusty. And the same is true with all of us as well. As we live our lives in this world that is cursed by sin, it's very easy for us, really without even trying, to get dirty. And this idea about the clean hands and the pure heart is slipping away, and sometimes we don't even realize it. Do you remember this statement from the Old Testament concerning Samson, I believe it was, where the Bible says that the Spirit of God left him and he wist it not. King James language. He wist it not. How easy it is for us to have things like this just, you know, kind of slip away and we don't even realize it. I just want all of us to stop and realize and think about the fact that because we're living in this world that is cursed by sin and has evil all around us, if we're not careful, if we don't take a conscious effort and energy to keep ourselves clean and pure, we can lose what God wants us to have and wants us to enjoy. You know this, and I know this. We all know this. God has left us in this world and to live in this world, but we all know that God doesn't want the world to live in us. I can't speak for you, I can speak for me. It's constantly trying to creep its way into my life. Constantly. So I have to make a conscious effort to keep myself, again, I'm using Bible words here, to keep myself unspotted from the world. It's an effort. It's a constant effort that has to be made to make that happen. So I want you to know this morning as we go through our outline, and it's very, very simple, but God has given us some things to help us in this area. And one of the first things he's given us, of course, is the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son. Would you look with me at 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, 8, and 9, a familiar passage of Scripture. I think most of us, maybe many of us, could quote it even by memory. But let's look at it and see what the Scriptures say. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, 8, and 9. Now here the Apostle John is writing to some believers. And he says in verse 7, but if we, believers, we Christians, we who are born again, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And look at this. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. But again, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Verse 8, if we say that we have no sin. Now keep in mind, he's writing to Christians, he's writing to believers. We who are born again, if we say that we have no sin. There's no one listening to me this morning that doesn't have sin. All of us have sin. If we say that we have no sin, look at this, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Thank God for verse 9. If we confess our sins, we, again, who are saved, the born again ones, if we confess our sins, he, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, why would we have to confess our sins to the Lord and seek cleansing and forgiveness? Again, it's because, well, two things at least. Number one, we are sinners. Number two, we live in an evil world. And sin is all around us. And it's trying constantly to creep its way into our life. And so I wanted to mention, first of all, that one of the things that we have to help us in this area is the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. His blood, according to verse number 7, cleanseth us from all sin. Cleanseth us from all sin. We all need the blood of Jesus Christ, first of all, of course, for salvation. There were many, many years when I walked this earth and I wasn't saved. And then I got saved and realized how important the blood of Jesus Christ was to my relationship with God. I needed the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse me from my sin. And that was my very first need. That's every man and woman's very first need concerning the blood. We all need this for salvation. You don't get saved because you join a church. You don't get saved because you do good deeds. You don't get saved because you put some money in the offering plate. You get saved because the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, washes away your sins. Remember the example we have, Old Testament, with the children of Israel, and God was getting ready to lead them out from Egypt, and on the very last plague, God said to take a lamb and hold it up for 4 days and observe it, make sure there's no impurities within it or no nothing wrong within it, and then you take that lamb and you slay that lamb and you take some of that blood and you apply it to the doorpost of your house. And during the night, God said, I will come over the land of Egypt, and everyone who has the blood on the doorpost of their house, the firstborn in that household will not die. But every household that does not have the blood on the doorpost of the house, the firstborn in that household will die, from Pharaoh all the way down to the lowest person in the kingdom of Egypt. And of course, that night, if you remember the story in God's word, God came over and exactly happened as he said. And there were screams heard throughout all of the land of Egypt because the firstborn died in hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of homes. But among the children of Israel who obeyed God and had the blood on the doorpost, no firstborn died. That's a beautiful picture, by the way, of salvation. And how during salvation we, by faith, have the blood of Jesus Christ applied to the doorpost of our heart. And now when God sees us, he doesn't see us in our sin. He sees the blood of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, covering that heart and covering that sinfulness that once was so prevalent in our life and dominated in our life. And the blood of Jesus Christ has made us free from all that sin and its penalty. This is why Jesus came. This is why he died on the cross. This is why he was buried and rose again, so that you and I could have the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. I want to say again, very, very seriously and soberly, there is no other way. There is no other way. Sometimes people want us to believe that there is another way, but there is no other way. It's only through the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son. Without that shed blood, there's no forgiveness. There's no salvation without that shed blood. So that's the first time, really, that we are introduced to this, you and I, and we find out about how important that is. But even after we're saved, we also need forgiveness, don't we? The need for the blood of Jesus Christ to forgive our sins and our need of confessing those sins to the Lord is spoken of in this passage that we read. Verse number 8 mentioned the fact that if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And verse 9 reminds us, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We must confess our sins, and then God will be faithful because of the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross. God will be faithful to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, beyond salvation, we need the blood of Jesus Christ for daily cleansing and daily victory. Many of us have experienced being outside, and sometimes even inside for that matter, I guess, but I was thinking of outside, working and laboring and sweating and getting dirty as we labored. And of course, as you get dirty because of laboring, You need a shower, you need to get cleansed, you need to put on fresh clothing and so forth. And I think about jobs that I've had, not only being raised on a farm, but jobs that I've had besides the ministry. Of course, you don't get very dirty in the ministry, but jobs that I've had in factories and places like that. And you get dirty. And in the area where we were many, many years ago, up in the Fox Valley area, and I believe it's still there, is Nina Foundry. And the people that work at Nina Foundry, when they are done with their shift, they're very dirty. And they need a shower, and they need fresh clothing, and they need to get cleaned up. And That's what I think of when I think about you and I living in this world. Because it is cursed by sin, because the evil is all around us, just living our life. We don't want it to happen, but it does happen, that the evil and the sin and all that wants to work its way into our lives, and it does without us even trying. Which is, again, why we need to cleanse ourselves and get cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, by confessing our sins to the Lord and getting that cleansing and that victory from the world, the flesh, and the devil, who are our enemies and are trying to destroy us in our testimony. The blood of Jesus Christ sanctifies us and gives us cleansing and victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. By the way, that also sets us apart to our Heavenly Father. And now again, once again, we had this at salvation, but we need it again as we live throughout our lives too. Now again, we have clean hands and a pure heart because we've gone to God and we've asked for His cleansing and we've asked for His victory and His power to make us a clean once again. Clean hands and a pure heart. How very important that is. Have you ever noticed this? And I'm guessing that you have, but people that get away from church, people that get away from reading their Bible, people that get away from fellowship with other believers, people that go off into the world, who at one time were maybe with you or with me and in church and all doing all those things that I mentioned, but they get away from those things. What does their life become like the longer they're away? Becomes just like the world again. Many times you can't even tell that they were ever born again, because they start to live just like they used to live. They start to live just like their friends, their new friends live. They start to live just like, I said, they used to live. What they need is the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse them and make them, again, clean hands and a pure heart. I wonder this morning as you think about this, how are you doing? Because, again, just living in this world, I thought about this just the other day, and I think about it every now and then. You maybe do too. There are things I'd like to see accomplished yet, but I'm looking forward to our Lord's return. I honestly am. I'm looking forward to this time when the Lord tells us that He's going to come back for us and take us home to heaven. I'm looking forward to that. A couple of reasons. One is the longer I live, the more of my friends and family are already there. But secondly, and this is very important, I won't have to deal with the things in this world anymore. I won't have to worry about the evil that's in this world and the wickedness that's in this world and the sin that's in this world that's constantly trying to work its way into my life. You know, after a while you get tired of, you know, warring against that. It's not easy. It's difficult sometimes. But thank God for His blood, the blood of Jesus Christ, that cleanses us from all and gives us once again the clean hands and the pure heart that God wants us to have. Remember the question back in Psalm 24? Who's going to dwell with God? I just put it that way. Who's going to be in His presence? Well, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart. We need that if we want to have this vibrant relationship with God. So number one is the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. The second thing that I want to bring to your attention this morning, that God provides for us to help us to have clean hands and a pure heart. The second thing is the book. The book. And what I'm referring to here is the Word of God. Amen. The Bible. Would you look with me at John? John's Gospel, chapter 15, verse 3. John, chapter 15, verse 3. This is a very special passage for me because many years ago, I was not living like I ought to be living. And Sarah, I know you remember this. I was in the Army and had friends I shouldn't have had and was doing things that I shouldn't have been doing. I'd been saved. I'd trusted the Lord as my Savior, but I wasn't living right and doing right. And my mom and my dad came down to visit us in Texas, and I was stationed at Fort Hood. By the way, I'm glad that they're changing back some of the names of our military bases, amen, back to their original names that they were given.
Amen.
I'm for that. Anyway, that's just a sideline. That was free, okay? But we were at Fort Hood, Texas, and again, not doing right and living right. My mom and dad came down to visit us, and my dad knew that. He's not dumb, you know. He knew I wasn't doing right, living right. And he sat us down, and we had a family devotion time in the living room. And he read from this passage, John chapter 15. And it says in verse 1, I'll start there and we'll go through verse 3. In fact, I might go a little bit further, but I want to concentrate on verse 3. I am the true vine. This is God the Father speaking. Jesus speaking, but about God the Father. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. So you see that? Jesus calling himself the true vine and his Father the husbandman. Every branch in me, that's a Christian. And Dad emphasized that. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, and at that time I was not bearing fruit for God. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he, God, taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Verse 3 says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. I'm coming back because that's where I want to emphasize in this point. Abide in me, verse 4, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. And I'll stop right there, but you get the idea. I hope Dad was emphasizing the fact that as a Christian, speaking to me, Mark, as a Christian, you're supposed to be bearing fruit for the Lord, and you're not. And because you're not, one of two things is going to happen. Either God's going to take you home early, he taketh away, or he's going to purge you in your life and help you to bear fruit. So which one will it be? I got to tell you, that night when we were sitting in the living room and he read from this passage and explained some of these things, just like an arrow. I can't do that too hard, but just right to the heart. You know what I mean? Just conviction. And Sarah, I know you remember this. That night when we went to bed, we knelt by our bedside, both of us, and we promised God from that day forward, we're going to start living for him and doing what's right. And we have all these years, and I'm so thankful for that night. But what did God use? What did God use in my life? You say, well, he used your dad. Yeah, he did. But the word of God, the book, the Bible. Verse number 3 says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. You've heard me say this a lot of times, and I've harped on it a lot of times, and I'm going to keep harping on it, okay? Because it's important for a believer to read God's word every day. Sarah and I have been doing this now, reading the Bible every day. We did it this morning before we came to church. Read the Bible and pray together every day, and we have done this now more than 45 years. I don't remember exactly how many, but more than 45 years we've done this. We made our way all the way through the Bible, and besides other study and all that reading and so forth, but reading the Word of God. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes when I read the Word of God, it doesn't seem like much is happening. Now, there are times, of course, when you read the Word of God and you say something you never saw before. There we are. You see something you never saw before, okay? And that's exciting. And sometimes the Word of God will speak to you like it never has before. Other times, to be quite honest with you, and this happens, even to me, you read through your Bible reading for that day, you got nothing. I'm just being honest. You got nothing. And the devil would say, well, then why do it? And God's answer would be, because just in reading the Word of God, you're being cleansed. Now ye are clean. How? Verse 3. Now ye are clean through the Word which is spoken unto you. It's important to read the Word of God on a daily basis because it helps to clean you. It helps to cleanse you and keep you clean. It helps with the clean hands and a pure heart. Sometimes you may not think that much is happening, but the water of the Word is washing over you and cleansing you each and every time you read it, even on the days when you don't think you're getting much out of it. Please don't let the devil convince you to give up your reading of the Bible. That's what he wants. I know, again, I mentioned Sarah a couple times this morning, but Sarah, you remember how many times we tried to do this faithfully and failed? I mean, early on, it was, we'd get Genesis, that was fine. Exodus, that was okay. But you get into some of those books where it's name after name after name after name, and who can pronounce those names? The only one that I know for sure, at least I think he does a good job, is Alexander Scorby. So I let him do it. We follow along as he reads, you know, but really, who can read all of it? And I would get to those names, and I'd get bogged down, and then I'd get behind. And then it's like, well, you know, I'm too far behind. We'll try it again next year. That happened a couple years in a row, didn't it? And finally, and this is just me, you'd have to know me and my personality, but finally, inside of me, it just said, I am not letting a piece of paper, the Bible reading schedule, I'm not going to let that beat me. It's stupid. I'm not going to let that thing beat me. And so buckled down, and we read through, got through the names, and then, of course, it gets a little bit better. You get into 1 and 2 Samuel. It's kind of interesting. That's where we are, you know, in Sunday school with the adults. Man, wasn't it a bloody day today? Oh, man. Violent. Anyway. And then, you know, pretty soon it becomes a habit. And, of course, now it is more than a habit. It's an obsession. But to read the Word of God on a daily basis. Why does the devil, this is why I bring up the early years, why does the devil fight us so hard on reading the Bible? Because he knows how important it is. I don't know if it's happening to you, but it happens to me. We can sit down to read the Bible and the phone will ring. Or a text will come through. Or someone will ring the doorbell or, you know, knock on the door. Or, I don't know, 101, we don't have any pets, so there was a day when we had pets and the pets would act up. I mean, the devil just uses whatever he can to try to get you to not read the Bible. And he does that because he knows how important it is for us and our spiritual well-being. I hope that you desire to read God's Word every day. Now, think about this with me. I'm going to compare our spiritual life with our physical life. And let's think physically, first of all. Anybody here like to eat? Okay, I see some hands. The rest of you, I'd like to talk to you later about... Never mind. I like to eat. It's one of my favorite indoor sports. The other one is sleeping. But I like to eat, okay? And I think most of us like to eat. But did you ever think about this physically? There's basically three times when people don't want to eat. Number one is when they're full. When you're full, food isn't all that appealing. And that makes sense, because your belly's full. I don't know if you've ever done this. I have done this before, where I've gotten full and still kept eating. Every time I've paid for that. Every time. But normally, people don't want to eat once they're full. Another time is when they're sick. Many of you know, of course, I had that heart attack, and I was in the hospital for 12 days, And during the 12 days, honest, I had no appetite. They were badgering me every day, several times a day. You got to eat. You got to eat. You're not going to heal if you don't eat. I wasn't hungry. You could put the best meal in front of me. It didn't matter. And they did. They put pot roast in front of me. They put, you know, all kinds of different stuff. I wasn't hungry. I'd take a few bites. That's all I could get down. No appetite. When you're not feeling well, when you're sick, when you're under the weather or just had a surgery or whatever, there's no appetite. So when you're full, when you're sick, and another time physically when we don't want to eat is when you're dead. If I had a casket up here and I had somebody in the coffin and I waved pizza in front of them, they wouldn't move. Pot roast, pork chops, wouldn't matter because they're dead. Do you know those basic three times are also true in the Christian life? A lot of times people don't desire the Word of God because, number one, they're full. And I don't mean full spiritually. I mean full of other stuff. Full of all kinds of other stuff. And the devil knows that. And he really likes providing to us the other stuff to get us full. Another time is when we're sick. When you're sick spiritually, you don't have much of an appetite for God's Word. And then thirdly, when you're dead, spiritually dead, no desire for God's Word. So I want you to think just for a minute about yourself. Do you have a desire for God's Word? And if you don't, what's the problem? Are you full? Are you sick? or are you dead? Because if you're alive, the Word of God is your daily food and sustenance. And you need to be in there every day, reading it and digesting it. We need the Word of God daily. As we partake of it daily, God helps us and cleanses us and feeds us, of course, but provides for us again, the title of my sermon, Clean Hands and a Pure Heart. So number one is the blood, number two is the book, and then the third one I want to mention this morning is the blessed hope. The blessed hope. Would you look with me at 1 John chapter 3? It's interesting, all three of these passages are written by the Apostle John. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 1. Remember the question that was asked in Psalm 24? Basically this, who's going to be in God's presence and dwell with Him and walk with Him? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. How are we going to maintain that in this world in which we live? Well, number one, by the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. Number two, by the book, the Word of God, the Bible. Number three, by the blessed hope. Notice 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Amen. Thank God for that. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now. Don't you love the language here? Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Verse 3. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. John is saying here that the fact that he is coming should help you and I to keep ourselves pure, clean. Again, clean hands and a pure heart. Jesus is coming. That's exactly what the Bible says in this passage. By the way, it says it in other passages too. People all the time are asking, when? We don't really know, do we? We really don't know when. We hope and believe that it's soon, but we don't know when. But we know His Word tells us that He is coming. And when He comes, of course, this passage says we're going to see Him face to face. Can you imagine what that day is going to be like? To see Him face to face. I've read about Him. I've preached about Him. I've heard others preach about Him. Of course, we've seen some pictures and drawings. We don't really know that they're accurate or not, but won't it be an exciting day when we get to see Him face to face? And when we get to see Him face to face, do you want to be ashamed? You don't want to be ashamed, do you? I don't either. I want Him to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want Him to say things like, Mark, I'm really proud of you. You were faithful right up to the end. You did exactly what I asked you to do. You didn't go back on my word. You didn't change what you believed. You held on to what you believed throughout all those years. You see, Jesus coming helps us to live a clean life, because we don't want to be ashamed when He returns. We want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. We want Him to be proud of us. And we want to be glad when we see Him. Holding tightly to that promise of His return is going to help us in this area. You know what it'll do? It'll keep us, first of all, out of the wrong places. I really believe with all my heart that when Jesus comes back, if it's on a Sunday morning at 11:18 or 19, I'm looking up at the clock, and you're here, no reason to be ashamed. But if He comes back at that same time and you're still laying in bed, you might be ashamed. Or maybe doing something that you shouldn't be doing. Isn't it always surprising when somebody sees you and you didn't realize they saw you and they call you by name? And that happened a couple of times this week to me. Thankfully, I wasn't doing anything wrong. But when our Lord returns, we don't want to be ashamed. It helps to keep us out of the wrong places. By the way, it helps to keep us from doing the wrong things. It also helps to keep us in the right places, doing the right things. When you have that hope in your heart that Jesus is coming back for you, even when others close to you are doing the wrong things and they're in the wrong places, it still helps you to not follow their steps and go with them, because you know the Lord's coming back. You don't want to be found in those wrong places doing the wrong things. You see, the blessed hope is called that for a reason. We have that hope that he's coming soon to get us and take us home to heaven. That promise helps us to maintain the clean hands and the pure heart that this message is all about. So in that text where we started, the question was asked, who's going to be with God? Who's going to dwell with him? Who's going to walk with him? Who's going to be in his presence? And the answer comes back, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart. Let me just ask you this morning, how are you doing? God has provided for us the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, the book, the Bible, the Word of God, and the promise of his return, the blessed hope. God has provided these three things to help us in this area. Wouldn't it be wonderful if our Lord returned today? I think it would be. Even before we finish. I'm fine with that. I'm ready. And I believe, as I stand here, I have clean hands and a pure heart. So I'm ready. How about you? How about you? Let's stand together, heads bowed, eyes closed. No one's looking. We don't want to embarrass anyone. Clean hands and a pure heart. Does that describe you? Who's going to dwell with God? Who's going to walk with him? Who's going to have daily fellowship with him? Remember, God is much, much, much more holy and pure than we could ever imagine. If you ever hope to have that relationship with him that he wants you to have, you have to have clean hands and a pure heart. Heavenly Father, thank you for the blood. Thank you for the book. Thank you for the blessed hope that helps to keep us on the right path. I just pray, Lord, that each one of us will take advantage of these things and use these things daily to keep us on the right path. We don't want to be ashamed. We do want to hear well done. We do want to be pleasing in your sight. Help us in this area, please. In Jesus' name, amen.